Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing?
Great.
It's so good to be here with you.
Yeah.
It's a good day. Amen? And let's pray real quick. Lord, we love you and we thank you so much for this day. I thank you, Lord, that you are worthy of our worship. Like Philip said, I'm tired this morning, Lord, but you're still so worthy of our worship. You're worthy of all we have, Lord, even if that is just a little bit. I pray that you help us to be willing to give you everything, whether we're in good shape or bad shape, whether we're tired or energetic. I pray that you let us give you all things, Lord, all of us, because you're worthy of all of us, and because you gave us yourself. You gave all of yourself to us, Lord. So I pray that you help us, Lord, to be willing to give you everything. Bless this meeting. Bless your people, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, Philip, I did like your song choices. I felt tired this morning. I woke up. I had a rough week. Anybody have a rough week? I guess Philip's already asked you that. Sometimes you have rough weeks. And it's so good to be here with you guys. It's just so rejuvenating to be in the presence of God with the body of Christ and worshiping. It fills you back up. It recharges your batteries. So I love being here. Last week, I preached on serving out of Mark 10, and I was going to recap that again. But how many of you know God's called us all to be servants? Jesus Christ was a servant, and like I just prayed, he gave all. He gave everything that he had. In Mark 10, we read last week that the Son of Man, Jesus said, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many. And that's exactly what he did. He didn't just serve a couple of times. That was his very nature, of a servant. That was part of who he was. And that's who he's called us to be. Service is unique, holy, and against the grain. Service is unique, holy, and against the grain. It is different. It's other than. It's holy because it separates. It separates you from other people when you're serving. When the world sees people serving with no expectation, they wonder why you're doing what you're doing. Because nobody does that in the world. Why? Because in the world, when you don't have God in your life, you're just all about yourself. So why would you ever want to give anything to anybody else, at least with no expectations? But when you serve as unto the Lord, with no expectations, it shocks people and brings them into a place where they might want to ask you the question, why are you doing what you do? Which I believe is what happened with Christ everywhere he went. His service to everyone caused people to say, why are you doing what you're doing? And he was able to lead them to the Father, which is what he came for. People take notice when we serve. We talked about serving in a way that people need and not just what you want, meaning you want to serve them in their needs and not only in the way that you know how to serve. I spoke about a friend of mine that I said that I thought he needed a budget written up for him. He was struggling with his money and I thought he needed a budget and he just kept asking me to fix his car. And I said, well, you don't need that. You just need a budget. But what he needed was my service in helping him fix the car. And God had to show me that 3 days later after he asked me 3 days in a row. And I kept saying, no, but here's a budget. So we serve people in the way they need to be served, not just in the way that we want to serve them. Christ served everyone. He served the rich and the poor. He served male, female, black, white. He served everybody that was around him. Again, this is important. I tend to want to only serve people. When I finally do get in the frame of mind to serve, I think, who's easiest to serve or who do I feel most comfortable with to serve? I think that's just human nature. I think we all do that to some degree. But Christ served anybody that had need, anybody that came around us. I spoke the week before on the rich young ruler and how Christ loved him and served him. He didn't mind that he was rich. And he didn't mind that he was poor. I mentioned Mary Magdalene coming in. He loved her. He served her. He served everyone. We have to be the same way. We need to serve in the same way. And if he lives in us, then it won't be too difficult. We should question ourselves and look at our lives and ask ourselves, are we serving people. Does Christ really live in me? If he does, then you should be a servant of some sort. You should be doing exactly what he did to some capacity. I had a friend of mine ask me about this sermon. We were talking about it, and he said, is there a limit to serving? When do you say no? And the answer is that there is no limit to serving, but there is discernment. And this is, I did not bring up last week, but I do want to bring it up. Because how many know you can wear yourself out serving people that are unable to be served fully? This is important because Jesus said, I only do what the Father tells me to do. Okay? And so there's times that people will try to take advantage of you and you'll serve them to the degree where not even God's happy with you for doing that. So you need to have discernment by the Holy Spirit. You don't have to serve to the degree where you're falling apart. But here's what I would say, and I mentioned it last week, is if it's as unto the Lord, then you have no fear of being taken advantage of. If it is unto the Lord. But you ought to be able to hear God tell you to start or stop. And you ought to be able to do what Christ did again. Is that he said, I only do what my Father told me to do. When Jesus went to his hometown, they asked him to do the same things he'd been doing in other towns. Physician, heal us. They wanted miracles. And he said, I can't do it. He said, you don't have any faith. So there was a limit there. He did listen to his father and say, not here. It's a sad story to think about that. That's his hometown, all the people that he loved and knew and grew up with. And they were the ones who didn't get it. We do that often too here, I think. You know, isn't this Joseph's boy, is what they said. I knew his mom. They couldn't see past it. And therefore, he couldn't serve them. He couldn't heal them. So there's a there's not a limit to serving. You can serve as much as you want, but there is, you need to have discernment, and you need to do what the Father tells you to do. Well, today, I don't have a full sermon, I'm being honest with you. I tried to get it all down this week, but like I told you, we had a week. But I do want to get it started at least, and I'm just going to share shortly here on scattering the seed. Scattering the seed. I've told you I've been in Mark. And this is also in Mark. I'm trying to read Mark real slow and go chapter by chapter and just write something down for every chapter. I'm reading it slower than I ever have, and I'm enjoying it. But this is the parable of the sower. So let's turn to that, Mark 4, 1 through 20, or you can read it up on the board if they have it. Mark 4. Again, Jesus began to teach by the lake. The crowd that gathered around him was so large that he got into a boat and sat in it out on the lake while all the people were along the shore at the water's edge. He taught them many things by parables and in his teaching said, listen, a farmer went out to sow his seed and as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places. Where it did not have much soil, it sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants, so that they did not bear grain. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up, grew, and produced a crop, multiplying 30, 60, or even 100 times. Then Jesus said, he who has an ear, let him hear. When he was alone, the 12 and the others around him asked him about the parables. He told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you. But to those on the outside, everything is said in parables so that they may be forever seeing, but never perceiving, ever hearing, but never understanding. Otherwise, they might turn and be forgiven. It's a strange verse. A little hard to understand, but let's keep going. Then Jesus said to them, don't you understand this parable? How then will you understand any parable? The farmer sows the word. Some people are like seed along the path where the word is sown. As soon as they hear it, Satan comes and takes it away. or takes away the word that was sown in them. Others, like seed sown in rocky places, hear the word and at once receive it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. Still, others, like seed sown among the thorns, hear the word, but the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth, and the desires for other things comes in and chokes the word, making it unfruitful. Others, like seed sown on good soil, hear the word, accept it, and they produce a crop, 30, 60, or even 100 times what was sown. Good, isn't it? Well, we are called to scatter the seed. This sermon was brought to me, I guess, brought to my attention with this last week. I've got a guy that works with me sometimes. He doesn't work for me, but he scraps all of our units. His name is Debo. Some people might know Debo in here. But he's a great guy. He's about 6'6", 300 pounds, big dude, 80 years old, and who lifts these units. He's stronger than everybody on my crew. No offense, Luke. He's a strong guy, and he's been doing it for a long, long time. And he was in the office with me, and he came to a job site to pick up a system one day with me. And he had to deal with a customer that I was dealing with who was a strange guy. He was a difficult customer. And he gave me a hard time. And Debo came by the office a few days later, and we were talking about it. He was like, man, that fellow was strange. And I said, yeah, I know. He's strange. And I said, well, you know, Debo, I said, he's an atheist. My customer had told me that he was an atheist, and he didn't want to hear anything about God. When I told Debo that, he said, oh, man. He said, that's what the problem is. He was like, man doesn't know God. He doesn't know the word. If he doesn't know the word, he's got no foundation. And I just thought that was so good. And I just said, well, Debo, tell me about how did you get saved? And he said, oh, man. He said, when I was in high school, he said, I was a star football player. And he said, and I had all my brothers and sisters and my siblings were all at school with me. And he said, a guy came by and preached the word at our school. And he said, I got saved when I was in high school. And he said, it totally changed my life. And he said, but none of my brothers and sisters got saved. None of my cousins got saved. He said, I was the only one. And he said, and every one of my siblings has either been in jail or had babies out of wedlock. He said, their lives have all been a wreck. I think he's lost a couple of cousins. And it just occurred to me as he was talking, I just thought about how powerful the gospel is. How amazing it is that a guy can come to his high school, take that seed, and scatter it among all those people. And most of them, just like in the story, most of the seed did not fall on the ground. Most of them did not receive it. But one seed found its mark in this guy's heart. And he's 80 years old and he's still serving God. I mean, I consider him a friend, and I trust him, and he's trustworthy. When he was telling about his siblings, he went into detail about what all they'd done, and it was wild, that they came. He said they came from the same mom and daddy as I did, and the seed found good ground in him and changed him forever. I was thinking about that, and just thinking about, I was like, man, how thankful am I for that guy that came and preached that word and scattered that seed. I mean, Debo said he didn't remember his name. He's just a guy that showed up at his school one day, just like you probably had in high school. I had it too. And I'll tell you what's interesting. When I had it in high school, I was rocky ground. It didn't stick on me at all. I didn't receive it at all. But I bet you there was somebody in my school who did. I noticed that in this scripture that, three out of four didn't land on good ground. But it didn't stop him from scattering it. The call is to scatter, amen? That's our job, it's to scatter. We don't have to worry about being so pointed. I'm telling you, this is a big deal, I think, because I contemplate every time I try to share the gospel with somebody, I'm so careful. Are they ready? Am I going to sound like an idiot? Well, they think I'm a Jesus freak if I just jump right into this. There's so many things that I try to like make sure of before I share the gospel. And I'm not sure that's right. I'm not sure it's right. Christ, or the farmer, scattered the seed. With no thought of where, he didn't even mind if it landed on the back. He wasn't afraid of that. He knew that one seed could produce 100-fold. If he could just get one, it could produce 100-fold. I was thinking about George Wafula in the same way. When George was here, George talked about, he told a story about how he got saved. But then I thought more so about him, that now he's the farmer scattering seed everywhere he goes. And the Word of God is so powerful. When George was telling us the stories about how it's changing everybody around him in his little town, George said when he was with us, he said, with my family, he said, do you take any abuse for trying to love your wife, when nobody else was? And he was like, oh, yes. He said that they had a certain saying there that they mocked me, all the people in my village mocked me for a long time. George told us, in Africa or Kenya, you can't like hold hands with your wife. You can't do anything like that, being affectionate. In fact, it's a weird thing, but they say that to honor her, you must beat her. So there's all kinds of weird things. But again, whoever came and preached to George, that seed fell on good soil. And then he did exactly what the scripture is saying. He produced 100-fold. And he's still producing. He's still scattering. And the word is going out from him to everyone that it comes across. But now he's building his own church in his own little, the same little small town. And they're having to build a new one because they can't fit all the people in the one they're in now. So that same village, that's what he told me. He said, all the people that used to make fun of me said are now part of the church. That's amazing. It always goes back to somebody scattered the seed, it found its mark in George, and then he turned around and he scattered it, and it's finding its mark in a lot of places. We are called the scattered seed, every one of us. When I was listening to Devo talk, and I was just thinking about how wonderful it was that seed fell on good ground for him. And he was able to become, he's a pastor, and he preaches to his own people. He scatters his own seed. But I was just thinking about how amazing it is that it just fell on that good ground in him. And then I thought to myself, man, I want to give this to somebody else just like somebody gave that to him. It just stirred something in me to say, if that guy would have held that word to himself, the one who gave it to Devo, and not scattered it, where would he be? Where would he be today? And I said to myself, how many people are around me every day that I've held that seed and didn't scatter it? And there's a lot in my life. There's a lot of people I'm with every day that have no idea about God whatsoever. And I said that to my own shame. But we have to scatter the seed. You never know where it's going to fall and what it's going to produce. Thinking about George again, I was thinking about myself when Marty, my friend that brought me into the kingdom of God, scattered the seed with me. And Marty had a tendency just to be talking about God in normal conversations that I didn't think were so normal. Meaning, I was lost, and Marty would just talk about the faithfulness of God in a normal conversation, and he'd say things like, yeah, God was faithful today, and to somebody who's lost and doesn't talk about God ever, I was like, what'd you just say? God is faithful. But that was him scattering that seed. It was just coming out of him like that. And I remember, that's what brought me into, I literally said, why do you keep saying that? And he was able to tell me, and begin to witness to me. But what I was thinking about is that he scattered the seed the first time with me, and he asked me, do you want to know Christ as your Savior? Probably not that clean, but he talked to me about if I wanted to become a Christian, basically. And I said, no, and I didn't want to be one. I said, I don't want to be one. So I was thinking about that seed hitting that ground. And that could have been it. But Marty was persistent, And he kept coming back to me, talking to me about God. Kept scattering until finally one landed in me. And I'm here because of that. We're all here because somebody scattered in sin. Everybody in this room is here because somebody was willing to tell them about God. Don't hold that for yourself. Don't withhold that from the people around you. Don't withhold that from your children. Don't withhold that from your parents. Don't withhold that from anybody around you. Give it away. Give it away. Hebrews 6 says that land that drinks in rain and doesn't produce a crop is in danger of being cut down and cursed. And that's a strong warning for us. Basically, to me, that means that whatever you received, if you're not giving it back out, you're in danger. Because you can't take something like that from God. It's never just for you. It's never just for you. It's always for you to give to somebody else. It's the whole cycle of everything in Christ is we receive, give back. We receive, give back. Whatever you've received, you should be giving it out. Only selfish people keep it for themselves. We have to give this word out. How are you changed by somebody scattering the seed in your life? Give that back to the people around you. Don't withhold that. Amen? In Corinthians, it says that we all have a ministry, and it's called the ministry of reconciliation. I'm not going to turn there today, but it says that if you've been reconciled to Christ, you now have a ministry. Has everybody in here been reconciled to Christ?
Amen.
Raise your hand if you've been reconciled to Christ in this room. If you've been reconciled to Christ, now you have a ministry. And our ministry is the ministry of reconciliation. You get to go tell somebody, this is what he did for me. He reconciled me back to himself. And now I want to offer you the same thing. It's so easy and so rich and so good, and God will help you in doing it. I have had the pleasure of doing this a couple of times with people and watch them get saved. Let me tell you something, there's nothing else. And you don't have to do much because the Word of God is so powerful. It's so powerful. It never returns void, the Scripture says. It always hits its mark. It never misses the mark. It might fall on rocky ground, but it hits the mark every single time. So you don't have to do a whole lot. You just have to give it out. You just have to say it. You just have to show it with your life. But there are people waiting for you to scatter. There are people today waiting for you to scatter the seed. The Bible says the whole world is waiting for the sons of God to be revealed and daughters. We are carriers of this. We are the vessels that God chose to carry the word. He was kind enough to save us and bring us into his life. And then he did more than that. He put his word in our hearts. And now we are carriers of it. And we're the only carriers of it. The people of God, that is. The world is waiting for us to throw it out. So I want to encourage you and myself today to scatter it as much as you can. Give it out everywhere you're at. And don't be afraid. You don't got to think about it too much. Just give it out. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Amen. Well, stand with me and I'm going to pray. Lord, we love you so much, and we're just so thankful for the people that were willing to give us the Word of God before we knew you. While we were strangers, there was people willing to give us the Word that they had received, Lord. And let us not be found holding on to it, Lord, being afraid to share it or ashamed of the gospel. I pray, Father, that you help us to be courageous and full of love and willing to give out the very thing that was given to us. Let us not hold back, Father. Let us please you in our lives by scattering the seed like a farmer. Pray that you bless your people, bless this week, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys.